Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, February 22nd, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
I guess that just about covers everything, doesn't it? I never married. I don't see much of the old college gang. I'm a retired detective, and you're in the shipbuilding business.
No, I think you had that wrong. Actually, shipbuilding was a previous life. Right now, I am your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. We're back with more of the Erotic Mind podcast series. You know, over the last 2 years, we've spent numerous hours with talented authors who have talked to us about their erotic short stories and novels. Late last year, we began to diverge a bit from the standard fare to broaden our perspective to include another type of sex writing, the memoir. Today, we go even farther afield to include blogging.
How often does this happen?
What, going farther afield or podcasting? Oh, never mind. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome one of my favorite personalities of the blogosphere, the enormously funny and delightfully smutty Becky Sherrick Harks. She is the remarkable woman behind the wildly popular blog Mommy Wants Vodka. She also freelances and contributes to other online sites. And Becky, as she is known online, will read two hilarious selections from the fruit of her erotic mind. You'll be laughing out loud as she skewers modern sexuality.
Have you had any dizzy spells this week?
I'm not going to answer that. For more of Aunt Becky and her sex writing, visit her on her website, Mommy Wants Vodka, or toywithme.com. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab.
Bitch, do you suppose many men were courses?
I don't know if you're going to find an answer to that question, but the video library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Aunt Becky, and thank you for dropping by DrDickSexAdvice.com. I'm so stoked that we've been able to cobble together this time for this chat. You are a hard lady to pin down, don't you know? Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Well, hi, everybody. It's nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
How does it feel being had?
I have never been recorded online before. I kind of feel like a virgin here.
Oh.
So I guess this is probably the good place to get started, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, if you're going to break a cherry, you might as well do it on Dr. Dick, Sex Advice.
Exactly. I think I'm in the
Because
there's
going to be a cleanup and all that kind of stuff on aisle
exactly.
six and stuff.
Good. I'm in the right spot.
So, as you know, I am a huge fan of yours. I follow you on Twitter, and I visit your blog, Mommy Wants Vodka, at least once a day, and I read your other columns, the other columns you write, too. So, my first question to you, ma'am, is it possible to overdose on you? Because if it is, I'm doing it.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I'm trying to get myself out there, you know.
Oh, and you're doing a good job, don't you know?
Well, thank you. I'm having fun.
You're located in Chicago?
I am. I'm in the suburbs outside of Chicago.
Oh, that's where I was born and raised, don't you know?
It's a good area. It's a good area. I'm in St. Charles.
If you can stand the winters.
It's cold right now. It's really cold. That's okay.
I remember distinctly. I'm so happy not to be there anymore.
This is the time of year where I'm really looking forward to moving somewhere else. But, you know, you get used to it after
it
a while.
Sure. Yeah. So let's begin our conversation by talking about you. You write about yourself on your blog. One of the first things that Dave, the spousal unit, told me when we first met was that I should think about getting a blog. I promptly asked him what in the hell a blog was. And when he explained, I shuddered. "Dude," I said, "no one would care about the stupid crap that I would write about. I mean, really, what I ate for breakfast is not national news." Well, how long ago was that?
I started blogging in 2004, which I think was a little bit after Deuce, who writes for a huge blog, started, and she makes $1 zillion a year, and don't. So, I guess you know which one of us was smart and which one was not. But that's
2004,
okay.
That's a long time in cyber years. That's like grandma.
I know. I'm an ancient, ancient person on the blogosphere. I know.
But previous to your current Mommy Wants Vodka, you worked with another blogger.
Yes.
That's right. Can you tell us something about that?
I worked with my friend. We went by Ren and Stimpy. And we worked on a blog called Mushroom Printing, which is a euphemism for a dick slap. So we started off right off the bat with dirty humor. So I've actually grown up a bit, if you can believe it, from going from dick slapping to Mommy Wants Vodka. So,
I absolutely love this.
I've evolved.
Exactly. So then you go on to say, not wishing to turn our raunchy blog into a rant about my nipples, boob juice, vaginal births, or newborns who look like garden gnomes, I decided to branch out on my own. This is Mommy Wants Vodka, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And how long have you been doing that?
No, I think I started that in July of 2007, which is the time that it took me. I started thinking about it when my second son was born in March of 2007. It took me until July to figure out a name.
Ah.
So it takes a while. Not all there. Not all that smart. But, you know, what
maybe
can you
it's
do?
The vodka.
I think it's the vodka and the babies.
Not necessarily in that order.
Exactly.
So I got to tell you, who came up with the subtitle, because not everyone can be a ballerina?
You know, I change it around now and again, depending on my mood. After I got into some trouble with the, there was a whole big thing. There was a lady who, it was a couple months ago, there was a lady who crashed her car, who was ended up being drunk. She was a mom who crashed her car.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you guys remember that. And she was drunk, crashed her car, and every mother who made any jokes about drinking got under fire. My blog ended up making it into the New York Times, and I got into the line of fire under a lot of other news outlets too. And so I started changing the tagline to all kinds of things because, you know, I was getting raked over the coals for it,
right.
Whereas I barely even drink.
Yes. And
but, you know, I was getting.
Folks don't have a sense of humor at all.
I was kidding. You know, like, but, you know, I'd change it to things like, you know, because Mommy Wants Vicodin sounded too suburban. Because, what else did I do it? Because Mommy Wants Crack was already taken, you know. Because I was getting, you know,
I
got
do.
A little tired of it. People were really starting to flog me for it,
well,
where I really didn't deserve it. I was being tongue-in-cheek, not saying that, you know.
Right.
All
but,
mothers
you know, folks don't have a sense of humor, and it comes to a point, it seems to me, that all of us have to, at a point, say, fuck you, and
exactly.
Have a nice day.
And that's kind of where I got. And this one was just one I made up one day because I was laughing about it. This was something else. This was not one of my raunchier things that I was saying, but I just thought that was cute, you know.
Okay, so you're the mommy of three, Benjamin, Alex, and the oh-so-special Amelia Grace. You're the wife of one, the Daver, and you have a nursing degree. Any other talents that you want to tell us about? Like, can you dance the hoochie-coochie?
Well,
be honest.
Not really. I'm a terrible cook.
Oh.
I decorate for shit. I'm a good driver. So, you know, you got that for me. And actually, I'm planning on going back to school to become a microbiologist.
Get out!
I know. That probably throws you through a loop there. But eventually, I'll put the whole writing thing on hold and go back to school and get my PhD in microbiology.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to go on the road and become like Phyllis Diller or something.
You know, now that I have actually confessed my plans to the internet, I'm sure that's probably what I'll end up doing is something else. I'll be selling my wares on QVC soon, which, honestly, could be worse. That would
Your
be
microbiology thing. You know, all the stuff that you... Yeah, absolutely. It'll never be the same after you join.
No!
That industry. Oh, my God.
You just never know.
Tell us a little bit more about your blessed little family.
Well, I was a single mother with Benjamin, who is autistic.
Ah.
He's 8, and he is... it's a challenge.
Yes.
But he's an interesting kid. He's a nice kid. Alex is... He's kind of my clone. He's almost 3. He'll be 3 in March. And he is he's an ass kicker. He's going to be Chris Farley.
Uh-huh.
Likes to occasionally put himself in the garbage can. I have this little wire garbage can. Knock himself over and yell, "I'm okay." It's hilarious. I keep meaning to try to capture it, but I can't seem to manage to catch him on it. But it's totally something Chris Farley would do. Uh-huh. Hopefully he won't die of a drug overdose, but you know. And Amelia is awesome. She was born with a really serious birth defect, and normally it's almost always fatal. And she has defied not only the odds, but has seemed to be completely normal. Hmm. So she is kicking my ass into gear about making sure that I make sure every day is totally worth living and that, you know, keep your humor about everything.
Well, absolutely.
And that's awesome.
It most assuredly is. It absolutely is. Here's one other thing that you say about your life. When I'm not handling poopy diapers or unsnarling my children from the light fixtures, I'm trying to start freelance writing. A process about as easy as trying to learn to speak Japanese by asking my cat. As it turns out, ma'am, you are a big fat success with this whole freelance writing thing, huh? Tell the truth and shame the devil.
You know, I'm doing okay with it. I'm shocked to report it. I never even kept a journal, so it kind of surprises me that I enjoy it. Dave was right. I hate to admit that my husband was right. I really enjoy writing. I write a couple places every day, and I love it.
Yeah. And you've been on Salon.com, and I hate you for that, don't you know?
You know what? I haven't, actually. Was I on Salon?
Yeah, well, I thought you said that I've been following your tweets, and
I have.
You have. Right. See? And then she forgets about it. Don't you just hate that?
I know, but I wasn't. I was just being featured on there. Oh, no, I know. I know. Yes, I am really enjoying what I'm doing. It turns out I'm doing okay with it.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Yeah, well, we will. So listen, I want to make sure that you know that you're welcome to burst into reading examples of your work at any moment. Because talking about the erotic mind is swell and all, but savoring the fruits of that mind's labor is even better. So tell us about your gig at toywithme.com. That byline is, or that... subtitle is Nothing Risque, Nothing Gained.
I love it.
I do too.
I love it. Yes, that is something that I was approached by with Toy With Me and the Toy With Me lady, who are my bosses. And I know their names, but I don't know that they actually go by their names on the site, mm-hmm, so I won't say them. But I share the site with another couple of awesome ladies who write. We all freelance through over there, and we have weekly columns, mm-hmm, and it's hilarious. It's me. We have a lady called the Kinky Jew, and Dear Redhead writes a column every week, and my friend Chrissy, who is the queen of everything, mm-hmm, writes over there, and it's a lot of fun.
Do you play off of each other?
We
so
don't,
to speak,
as
it were.
I think that. Maybe we should start. I think that would be kind of awesome if we started.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I think we would have more fun if we did that. But mm-hmm, we have a lot of fun over here. It's not quite as formal as some of the other sex sites.
Mm-hmm. It's true enough. Who came up with the tagline, "I have a vagina and I'm not afraid to use it"?
Get laid this Christmas? And it's just, you know, it's funny stuff. It's supposed to be funny. And we all really enjoy ourselves.
Could you read something of your work for us?
Sure.
Cool. Sure.
I certainly will.
From the first time I saw what appeared to be a canned mushroom hanging down from between the legs of my best friend as a child, I was intrigued. My own crotchal region looked nothing like that, and when I asked my mother, she explained clinically that boys had penises and girls had vaginas. I thought to myself, so it's not a second butt. Okay, then. I'm pretty sure that she gave me a more detailed explanation about the differences between boys and girls, and where babies came from, my mother never being someone to mince words. I'm sure I knew all the right terms and words and everything just as soon as I asked. Later, through schoolyard talk, I learned the slang terms my mother never taught me, and then I learned to combine them into even more hilarious terms for maximum awesomeness. As I grew older, this trick turned into a staple of mine and was highly appreciated, especially by my dude friends, who were impressed that a girl could talk like that. From them, I'd pick up more terms and file them away for future use, just like a friendly neighborhood garbage picker, carefully filching and cobbling away. From them, too, I learned they were highly jealous of girls, specifically of our sweater kittens. You know our boobs? According to most of them, if they were blessed with a pair of chesticles, they would never leave the house. Instead, they would lounge around all day playing with their breasts and occasionally admiring them in the mirror. Inspired by their vehemence, I tried this one day, only to be bored by about minute two. It seemed like no matter how much effort I put into it, I just wasn't going to be as entertained by my breasticles as my male friends were. Which I suppose made sense, considering I'd had them since they developed. A penis, on the other hand, I told my guys, now if I had one of those for a day, wow, the things I would do with it. They seemed to think I was joking, as though no one would really want a penis, but no, I wasn't kidding. I didn't want to be a man or anything. I just wanted to have a penis for 24 hours or so. A week tops. You know, like a detachable penis, like that King Missile song? Intrigued, they asked me what the hell I would do with a dick. First, I told them that I wanted to smack someone in the face with it. Give them a real mushroom print. Not in a hostile way, but, you know, pivot my hips and hit them with my flaccid wang. Because that just seems like something everyone with a penis should do at some point or another. They laughed and agreed. Then I explained that I would need to drink a bunch of crappy beer so that I could write my name and pee in the snow. Becky would suffice. It wouldn't have to be Rebecca, and obviously cursive would work better so as not to interrupt this dream, which I knew from hearing them complain would hurt. But I wanted to say my name in steaming, big, loopy, pee-made letters in the snow. I'd always been bitter that I couldn't do it myself without involving a cup or a squirt gun or someone else's member. After I took photographic evidence, I would then find the nearest tall building and whip it out again to pee on it. Not because I had to pee again, but just because I could. And really, after years of having to find a dark corner or a toilet or somewhere discreet, being able to pull it out through a hole in my pants and let her rip without peeing all over myself, well, that just brings a tear of joy to my eye. Then I would find a homeless guy taking a leak and have a sword fight with him. Because obviously, after this, I would probably need to find a bathtub to take a bath with the dual purpose of washing away the wino pee and then watching my brand new member float. Because there's nothing not hilarious about a floating wiener. The guys seemed to think I was being mean about this, but I assured them that I genuinely thought that a penis bobbing merrily away in the water was pretty much full of the awesome. Because it is. Clean from my bath, I would then find the most ridiculous attire to dress my dick in. Perhaps a whimsical rooster getup, or maybe a turkey. Possibly even a dinosaur. Because nothing says, I want to have sex with you like a penis dressed like a dinosaur. Perhaps I would even put it in a box, just so I could sing in a falsetto, I put my dick in a box. After I pulled my dick from the box, I think it would be the perfect time to engage it in a shadow puppet show, where I taught my penis how to dance. Preferably to Madonna's Like a Prayer. Why that song? I don't know. I like it, and really, why not? It's a dancing penis, after all. It has no dignity. The novelty of this would wear off quickly, I'm sure, and the delicate skin would no doubt chafe from the many costume changes, so I'm imagining this would be the perfect time for me to sit back and have a good ball bag itch. Because while I don't really know the sort of ecstasy that this brings, I'm imagining it has to be somewhat close to heaven. That, or maybe there's some kind of magnetic pull down there, I don't know. But I intend to find out. I'll probably, you know, have to have the sex with a hot cadre of hot girls and boys. I'd be equal opportunity with my penis, after all. Just to see what ejaculating feels like, And then I told my guy friends, I'd happily give back my tubular appendage back to wherever it came from because I like being a girl. They snickered and asked me if I was sure that I didn't stay at home and play with my boobs all day long. Crestfallen, when I said no, they simply shook their heads disappointed. Now, bored with my penis after only writing about it for a day, I think I finally understood why.
And that is it.
I
posted on Toy With Me. My main blog isn't quite as raunchy as it used to be.
Oh, I love it. There's nothing more delightful in the whole universe, to my mind, than dirty, smutty humor.
I agree with you there. Absolutely.
So, Becky Sherrick Harkes is your real name, right?
Yes.
Did you ever consider writing under a nom de plume?
You know, I didn't. I'm not really good enough about remembering that kind of stuff. So I figured if I did, I'd probably forget it anyway. So I figured I'd probably better just keep my name attached to it, you know, rather than trying to pretend I was somebody else and then getting busted, you know?
Right, exactly.
So, you know, I figured that was probably easier to just be honest about it. Hmm. Nobody even searches for me. It's kind of depressing.
Well, it's depressing. Isn't that terrible?
It is.
They don't even give a shit?
Oh. Nobody cares. I have a plugin on my regular blog. Nobody ever searches for my name. I think I should do something exciting. Maybe I should go rob a liquor store or something.
There you go.
Maybe I could get some publicity for my name. kinds of searches, nothing for my name.
Right. So when did you discover the power of adding erotic or sexual material to your work?
That was...
Or was it there all along?
That actually was the intent of Mushroom Printing.
Uh-huh.
Was to always be as shocking and as disgusting as we could be. To evoke as many gross, hilarious images as we could possibly.
And, you know, men are able to do that with some, you know, ease, but women are, in our culture, prohibited from doing such.
That's why we did it. My friend is also female, and that was kind of why we did it. The blogs that we knew when we first started blogging were really, really tame. I mean, really tame. So to find women who could be raunchy or raunchier than the men was really shocking.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where we started, and I've gotten tamer, mm-hmm. especially on my regular blog, because, you know, I keep my kids' names attached to it.
Yeah.
So sometimes people get a little, So, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to write on Toy With Me about that stuff.
Right. So as you know, the primary reason for doing this series of interviews is to uncover something of the creative process. Do you mostly write autobiographical stuff, or are you also writing fiction, or nonfiction for that matter?
I mostly do autobiographical stuff. I can do nonfiction. I started out writing nonfiction. That's where I knew I could write by writing nonfiction. Most of my stuff, my original stuff, was all nonfiction research stuff. From, you know, microbiology, all the sciences I've done, all kinds of stuff on, you know, bacteria, viruses, all kinds of stuff you'd never expect that I would write, but that's where I started.
Did you write as a child? I mean, you're really good at it, so.
Thank you. No, I didn't. I never kept a journal, a diary.
Yeah, you said that earlier.
I tried to keep a diary, when I was in high school, and I would, you know, I'd reread it and be like, oh, that's so lame. What an idiot. So, no. I couldn't even do that without thinking of what an idiot I was. So, no. No, I didn't do it. And no fiction. Hmm. I just am not that creative with that stuff.
Yeah. I'm amazed at the authors that I chat with, because, I mean, that they are gifted in a way that I certainly have not been blessed. So it's always amazing to talk to them.
Fiction writers amaze me because I can't do it.
Yeah.
You could put a gun to my head and I couldn't, you would see that I was writing about, you know, something about me, a fictionalized person. So I couldn't do it. I have a really good time.
How is it that you're so comfortable in your own skin that you're able to describe your personal life in such detail? Or are your explicit revelations a means of exorcising your demons?
You know, I've always been really comfortable about talking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't really care.
Mm-hmm. Does it help that it's humorous? I mean, because that kind of takes the edge off.
It does. If I'm being funny about it, if I was coming onto the internet and saying, you know, oh, I'm feeling really sad, you know, it's the hard, I have written about stuff where things are harder. You know, my parents are alcoholics, and I wrote about that on a site, and that was a really hard post for me to write, but it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written about my, you know, some of the struggles I've had with my daughter,
mm-hmm.
and that was also really good. And I've gotten mm-hmm. a lot of feedback from both of those where people were like, thank you. Really, thank you for writing this because, you know, you've touched me very much. And having all the positive feedback has really helped me feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to look at things and taking offense and laughing about them and trying to put a humorous spin on it, it's the way I view the world. Honestly,
right.
If you hung out with me for 6 weeks, you'd see that that's just kind of how I am.
Yeah.
So
well.
I write the way I talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is kind of a way of exercising my demons
mm-hmm.
as well, because if I even, you know, especially if it's something that's bothering me and I find, you know, one person that says, me too,
mm-hmm.
it helps.
Or if somebody, you know, laughs along with us when we are disclosing it, you know, and the process of writing it down is very therapeutic, I find.
It is. It's better to me than, because if you go see a regular therapist, it's often hard to find that, you know, that give and take relationship with somebody who doesn't know you that well. But if you're just talking to a blank screen,
mm-hmm.
There aren't any walls there. You can just, you know, you have to be honest because who are you lying to? I wouldn't dream of lying, you know, to the internet.
Right. Of course not, because no one ever does.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, I actually have never considered it.
Hmm. So how do people in your life take to your graphic self-revelations? Are they accepting of it?
Yes, I think so. I don't think I've ever... I have never kept it from anybody.
Uh-huh.
My parents both know about my blog. I don't know if they read it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never asked.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since I've talked about them and not always the most delightful lights.
Mm-hmm.
I know my sister-in-law reads it.
Mm-hmm.
I know my brother reads it. My in-laws, I think, read it, and I'm not sure how much they like it.
Isn't it funny that the same thing is true in my life, you know. I am very graphic, obviously, on Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And when I go home to visit family or family comes here, I mean, it's we're like, you know, like children. You know, just, and then when if I start launching into, you know, sex stuff, you know,
uh-huh.
because that's how I talk, that's how I live, they all look
sure.
at me like I'm from the moon. It's just like, oh, my God.
I think that people are starting to not want to maybe talk about stuff with me. Although
for fear it's going to show up on your pages.
I think that I tend to talk about me.
Yeah.
Unless, you know.
It's the Daver. Then you talk about.
Dave knows. And I tend to not talk badly about people. I don't tend to trash people.
Yeah.
Because it's a wide world of the internet, and you know full well that anybody you don't want to see it will see it.
That's for so certain. Absolutely.
You know that's how it works. So, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know who reads it. My guess is that probably everybody that I wouldn't want to read it reads it. Religious. So I just go ahead and pretend they're not reading it and write it anyway.
Good for
with
you.
With eye towards not wanting to offend them.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't want to hurt anybody.
Right. So this Erotic Mind series originally focused on the literary artists who write erotica. However, each of the authors I've chatted with claim that their writing is part of a much bigger genre, which some have identified as sex writing. Your blog and columns may not fall into the subcategory of erotica, but they certainly fall under the rubric sex writing. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Did you always want to be a sex writer when you grew up?
No, I never realized I had the talents for putting together such graphic images.
Mm. Well,
but I'm kind of proud of it.
We're the richer for it, don't you know? So would you mind reading again for us?
Absolutely. Would you like something from my Toy With Me stuff or something from
yes.
Mommy Wants
Vodka? Whatever you choose. That's completely up to you.
This is perfect. This is called Things I Will Ban When I Rule the World. This falls into it. You guys will get a kick out of it. I'm sitting there, ass glued firmly to the couch cushions, television on for background noise, baby happily burbling in a Zapper saucer. And all of a sudden, a female voice breaks into my thoughts. I have genital herpes, she confesses to me. The camera pans to her partner. And I don't, he confidently informs us. The commercial goes on and on while I sit there, completely horrified, jaw gently grazing the hair-covered carpet. Why, oh why, do I need to spend the rest of my afternoon trying to erase that image from my mind? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we need to pretend like STDs don't happen by shushing it up. Lord knows Aunt Becky has seen more STDs than you have, because I'm a nurse, you pervert. And I don't want to shame any of them who have them into institutions or anything. Not at all. Hell, plenty of people have them, live with them, while others manage to barely dodge that bullet, and I don't think it's something to be ashamed of. I just don't need my Oprah interrupted by having to hear about and subsequently imagine sores on your flipping meat curtains. Before you flog me for being insensitive to those who have herpes, let me assure you that I also really don't need to have my day interrupted by ads promising to rid me of that pesky, yeasty discharge, freshen up the old curtains with a vinegar douche, and or make sure that I don't piss myself in public anymore. I kid. I'm not going to pretend that I haven't dealt with some of my delicate conditions of my privates over the years. Hell, I've even gleefully documented when monostats attacks, went to the hospital after I peed my pants twice, but none of these things have ever put me up on your television set. Sure, I talk about these things on my blog, but I assure you that no one from Depends, Valtrex, or even generic Monistat is paying me a single dime for writing this. In fact, I'm almost certain they pay me not to write this. But seriously, can we please put a ban on having to watch people talk about the state of their junk on the television? Unless you think I'm being a complete ass, I also cannot stand to watch the ASPCA ones with the sad music because I cry every single time. And then I want to adopt all the animals on the planet, even though my dog Augie eats poo. And then there's a very little grosser than a dog that eats poo. So why would I want another dog that might eat poo? Answer, I wouldn't. And that's the end of it.
I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. Well, listen, our time for today has come to a close. And yet I have so much stuff that I want to talk to you about. Can I invite you back for next week?
Absolutely.
Oh, excellent, ma'am. But before we go, could you give us your website address and walk us around a bit so we can visit you in the interim?
Absolutely. My main blog is called Mommy Wants Vodka, and you can find it at www.mommywantsvodka.com. And if you look on the link on my right-hand side, it's if you look under Stock Aunt Becky, you can find me over at Toy With Me. Or there's links to all of the places I go at toywithme.com. And I'm on Twitter at mommywantsvodka.com. Pretty much I've taken over the universe at mommywantsvodka.com. Anywhere that you want to be, I'm on there. Because I'm a lemming.
Absolutely. Well, until next week, my dear, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
What a fabulous show, huh? Tune in next week for part two of my chat with Becky Sherrick Harkes and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
What's this doohickey?
That, sir, is today's podcast sponsor, the Dr. Dick How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand.
I've never run across one like that.
We're so cutting edge here. Listen, there's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. Remember that the pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? One last thought. I hope you are also following my two other interview series which appear on Wednesdays. One is called Sex Education, and I converse with prominent practitioners, educators, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles. And we investigate the world of fetish sex and kink. The other is called Sex Wisdom. And here, I chat with researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves. I can assure you that these conversations will be well worth your time. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously, under Health Subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.